J6, number 11B.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, have God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed upon all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? And if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. That's quite a different tone, isn't it, than the first record? So we already begin to hear a negative tone coming in, a tone of sorrow, a tone of, it's certainly not the uplifting tone that we heard of the first record of creation. Certainly that record that ends with a creation of fulfillment, here it ends in being excommunicated from the presence of the Lord. So let's go ahead, and we see now with, let's do then what we did with the first record of creation. See then if we can take, first of all, just the biblical symbols, and see if we can reduce this tremendous amount of text to just a few main points, trying to ignore the subtones which there are here, taking only then the main points of the second record in biblical symbols. Then we will do as we did with the first record of creation, take those biblical symbols, translate them into metaphysical ideas, and then into capitalized terms, which then make it much more of a timeless story. So we will see that the way here is a little different. It's not quite the same where a break in tonality occurs so clearly in the first record, where it says, and this is the first day, and this is the second day, and this is the third day. Well, this doesn't say, now this is the counterfeit of the first day, and this is a counterfeit of the second day. We have to listen. Well, I'll help us out, because it is a beginning class. If it was perhaps a little bit more advanced, I would ask us to hear the tones ourselves for the breaks. But seeing that it is a beginning class, I will help with where the breaks are. And yet within that break, let's see if we can still bring out the main point. So to begin with, we have on Genesis 2:6, which is within itself a contained little point, where it says, But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So what would we say, taking that whole point then, that there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground? What is the main point being discussed? Like we saw in the first record of creation, let there be light. Light was being discussed. The second day, let there be a firmament. The third, let the dry land appear. So what is the subject under consideration in biblical terminology? But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. What is being discussed? What's the subject? Mist, okay? So we can just reduce down to the big point here at this first point. Let's just put down point one for the second record of creation. Mist. That's the subject. Then, as we went on, we read from Genesis 2:7 now. 2 will go to Genesis 2:15. And listen, see if you can hear some of, again in text interpretation, that which is new, Lee interjected, that which we have not heard in the first point. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is that which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of the land is good. There is Delum and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. So there comes a break. And we say, now, what new points that we haven't heard before do we hear now in just a general point? Now, what we're talking about there would have been that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and the breath of life, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, every tree that is pleasant to the sight. Now, are these new subjects? Is this a new subject? Is it talking about mist? Not really, is it? So it's new, isn't it? And the subject now is not the mist, but, would we say? Man, wouldn't it, Dave? Yeah. So the Lord God formed man. And then how did he form man? From what? Dust and just dust alone? And the breath of life, it said, didn't it? So man is formed from dust and the breath of life. Then is there another subject there besides talking about man? Trees. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree. Now, is there one tree or two trees? Two trees. So there's the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And every tree that is pleasant to the sight. So what we see then, that this main subject then is reduced down to man, as you said, made of dust and the breath of life, and two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That all that is taken in with this point. So we could write down that man made from dust and the breath of life and the two trees is basically the essence of point two. And to go on to point three, okay, with Genesis, starting at Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man, and keep listening to that which is new, newly interjected. And the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. All right? So, just reducing that down to big points. We see then that the Lord God put man, now we've discussed man already, haven't we? Man's already been under consideration. But God put man into the Garden of Eden. Had he put man into the Garden of Eden before? No. Okay, so that's new. The Garden of Eden is new, isn't it? Man we know about. Garden of Eden, he's put into the Garden of Eden to dress and keep it. So the Garden of Eden is now new. And said, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil brings death. All right, so he's making, we know the trees, but it's new to say now you can freely eat of the tree of life, but you cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's going to bring death. So the separating process here. And the Lord God said, the man needs a helpmeet. So we know about man, but here it's, which is new, is that there's a need for an outside helpmeet, an outside help. And then that's all that's interjected there. Then it says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to name them. And Adam named them. So this is new, that out of the earth comes these living creatures now, these animals. And Adam names them. They're given names. That's new, isn't it? But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet. So basically, we can reduce that down to the point that the Lord God put man into the Garden of Eden, that Garden of Eden being a big point. And then it's just there that there's a need for a helpmeet. The helpmeet hasn't come along yet. But the main point here is that Adam then names every living creature. So he's put into the Garden of Eden, and you have Adam's naming of the animals, the beasts of the field and the fowl of the air. The animals and birds. Generally the big points for three. Okay? Then we go on to a point four. Genesis 2:21. I'll read to Genesis 3:4 for a fourth point. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God hath taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. All right, so we ask ourselves what is newly interjected into the story of the second record of creation as a fourth point. So we just generally take a look at it, and just in a big rounded sense, we see then that the Lord God caused a deep sleep upon Adam. Have we had Adam sleeping yet? No. So Adam sleeps. That's certainly something new. Has a rib been taken out of Adam yet? No. So that's new, isn't it? The rib coming out of Adam. All right. And he made a woman. Well, that's new. The woman is made from that rib. And he brought her unto Adam. And Adam named her woman, huh? So naming again, named her woman. And then it just talks about now how man leaves his father and mother and cleaves unto his wife. And that they were both naked but not ashamed at this point. They are one flesh, both naked and not ashamed. Then it brings in about the serpent. It says, the serpent was subtle and began to talk to woman. And woman said to the serpent, Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil brings death. So generally when we reduce that down, as we just said then, we have a deep sleep falling upon Adam, and in that sleep a rib is taken from Adam, which a woman is made, and then Adam names what was created a woman, and a certain serpent just begins to talk to the woman. So generally the main points, deep sleep, and a woman made from Adam's rib. Point four. All right, then we go on with a point five. And this, we will go from Genesis 3:4 to Genesis 3:9. And the serpent said unto the woman, now again, listen to what's new, Lee interjected. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And their eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. All right, so we get the big points of point five. So we have the serpent here, and the serpent is talking a little bit more to Eve. And now the serpent says to Eve, Ye shall not die, for God knows that if ye eat of the tree of the knowledge, your eyes shall be open. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the serpent begins to beguile Eve. Begins to talk more, talking, lying serpent, huh? So that's new, where the serpent just began to talk to Eve at point four, but now it's really engaging in a deep conversation here. And then the woman now listens. So Basically, she didn't listen before. She was just the serpent was just beginning to talk to her. But now you can see that the woman listened. She took in what the serpent was saying, because the woman saw that the tree was good for food. So she took in the suggestion of the serpent and saw as the serpent saw. You see, the woman saw that the tree was good for food. She had the serpent's perception. So she took of the fruit and did eat. She didn't need to keep it for herself, but she gave it to her husband, and he ate. And their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked. See, they didn't know before, but now their eyes are open, and they know now that they are naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God and hid from his presence. So to reduce it down to a few points, we see then the woman now listens to the serpent and perceives as the serpent perceives, therefore eats from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not only for herself, but she gives it to her husband and he eats, and their eyes are open. And as I said, they knew they were naked and hid. So the serpent really beguiles the woman. Then we go on to a sixth point, which starts at Genesis 3:9.